I know a guy who's a psychiatrist, and I've met him a couple times, not professionally, by the way, people, and he talks to, deals with in the prison system, and he knows Charlie Manson.
Oh, God.
And, I mean, he tells me this guy is just whacked out. He is just something else. And what's strange, though, is, as you know, David, he was never charged with the murders because he wasn't there. Yet he can't get out of jail. I'm glad he can't, but I mean, this is one of the few times where a person is in jail, and it seems like for the rest of his life, because, you know, he comes up for parole and they don't let him out, but he was not there.
That is unfortunately a misnomer. He was, in fact, there. He was at Tate's, at the Tate residence, after the murders were committed.
Tell me about this. I've never heard about this.
This is, it's a small, very, very rarely known fact that Manson and one of his cohorts went back to the Tate murder site about an hour after the murders, sometime after 1:30 p.m. This is corroborated both by the physical evidence of the blood of Sharon and Jay Sebring that was trace elements were found on the lawn outside the house. And there is a whole set of drops of blood markings that go around the outside lawn, and the police could not explain it because the blood type didn't match Abigail, Stephen Parent, or Wojtek Frykowski, but in fact did match Jay Sebring and Sharon's blood type.
Well, how do we know that Charlie was there, though?
Because what it stated was that at about 1:30 a.m., one Hispanic youth who was living in a guest house in the area had reported to the police that he had heard voices of two men arguing at about that time of the night. And when they tied that into another witness who had said that they had also heard voices at around 1:45 in the morning that woke them up, of two men arguing, they put the two together, realizing that Manson had been there to redress, set up the murder site. That's why when the girls in prison had reported what the murder site had looked like, it did not corroborate with the way it was found. For example, Charlie had put a pillowcase over Jay Sebring's head and put the noose around his head and wrapped it around several times. The girls never stated that that was the way the bodies were found.
Ah.
So Manson had come back to make it more of a heinous...
He rearranged it.
Yeah, and moved the bodies. They literally dragged Sebring and Tate's body outside, try to set it up there, and then put him back in the house.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, he was the mastermind of the
whole thing. Oh, no doubt.
So the whole point is he might not have been there, but it was on his marching orders that they went and committed the murders.
Well, it's amazing he had that kind of power over them,
yeah,
David.
It's very true. He's supposedly was very charismatic. And the irony is he wasn't a mass murderer to begin with. When he had approached Doris Day's son and met Brian Wilson, he was totally sober and, you know, how should we say, a creative source. Otherwise, Brian Wilson wouldn't have entertained the thought of talking to him about using his lyrics from his songs in one of Brian Wilson's songs. And what happened was Brian Wilson had given Manson, so to speak, a green light. Manson kept going and pursuing and pushing and was appearing at Brian Wilson's office and bothering him to the point where Brian Wilson said, hey, I don't know who the hell you think you are, but...
Enough is enough.
Back off.
Yeah.
It ticked Manson off so much that he then... Terry Melcher, that was Doris Day's son, he was ticked off and seeked revenge at Terry Melcher and at Brian Wilson, and that's what created the whole stigma that spurned his resentment and rage and anger.
Did he think that Melcher was in the house that night?
Here's the story, as I've been told. Manson knew that Terry Melcher no longer lived there because several weeks before the murders, Manson went there looking for Terry. Sharon was in the backyard with a photographer friend of hers who was taking some candid shots of her outside and noticed this gentleman coming around the backyard, and it was Charles Manson, looking for Terry Melcher. Manson said, is Terry here? The photographer said, no, he doesn't live here anymore. Who are you? Manson said, I'm Charles. Do you know where he is? And Sharon said, who is it? Turned and looked and saw Manson, and Manson saw her. So all of the speculation that Manson knew not who he was killing is really not exactly true. He knew that Terry Melcher didn't live there. He knew that Sharon Tate was there and did recognize her. The odds are he knew what he was, who he was killing and who he was attempting to kill. I don't think that Abigail Folger, Wojtek Fajkowski, and Stephen Parent necessarily were on the hit list, but by circumstance, them being there at the wrong place at the wrong time, you know, it's unfortunate, but that's what occurred for them.